Right now, though, we are going to the phones where we are joined by Julia Sadler. She is the host of the Julia Sadler Show. She is a licensed professional counselor, as well as a girls minister. She's an author, speaker, wife, and mother of triplets. Julia, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Thanks. I've been up for a few hours with the triplets.
So yes.
It's like afternoon for me.
when you got young ones like that, I imagine it is. So we've got four, but we spread ours out. You know,
we
didn't do them all at once.
All at once.
Yeah. So how old are your triplets?
They just turned one.
Oh, fun. Yes.
Yeah, it is. It's very fun.
But not a lot of sleep, I would imagine.
Yes.
Getting all three of them. Do they, getting all three of them to sleep at the same time, is that a problem?
Yeah, it is.
I would imagine one's asleep, the other two are up, two are asleep, one's up. I mean, oh my goodness.
Yes, they decided for their 1 year birthday that they were going to all sleep during the night. So it's been a year of not sleeping, but they just decided to do that. So it's awesome at this point.
That is great. I remember our first one, man. He never slept. I thought I was going to die. So it's nice when they start sleeping. Well, we appreciate you joining us. And a couple of issues I want to talk to you about, especially some dealing with you. But first of all, because I do think sometimes there's a, I don't want to say misconception or hesitancy. Sometimes people, as Christians, with counseling and stuff like that, and they think, oh, you know, I should just follow the Bible. And, you know, what is some of the misconceptions about counseling and the difference between a biblical approach to counseling and more, maybe a more secular approach to counseling?
Yeah, my dad's a pastor. I grew up just surrounded by Christians and in Christian culture, and I definitely think a lot of times Christians are hesitant to go to counseling and to seek professional counseling, probably because of misconceptions, thinking that it means, I mean, at the end of the day, I think people are scared that they're saying the Bible isn't enough, or they're scared that they're saying prayer isn't enough. And while, you know, that can be something that we worry about, what we do in counseling is we really try to help Christians understand that usually we're the ones saying that we're holistic, that we're body, mind, and spirit. But for whatever reason, psychological problems have, Christians have decided that that's something different. So for example, like we usually, whenever I'm talking to a Christian, we're like, hey, like we need to figure out what's going on. Maybe you need to see a doctor. We need to get in therapy and kind of get some of this stuff resolved. We can compare it to someone that has asthma. Like, you know, someone's having an asthma attack. If your child's having an asthma attack, we're not saying, well, you know, really what you need to do is just pray about it. And if you had enough faith, then their asthma would drop. No, you would do everything you could. You get that child to the hospital, make sure that they live. And for whatever reason, we've put psychological problems in the spiritual box and forget that it has to do with our bodies as well. And so it's not discounting God's power. It's actually being more practical so that we can live to our full potential and we can honor Christ and we can just do what we're supposed to do in this life. So with the asthma example, like, of course, God can magically, you know, supernaturally heal anybody of anything, but for whatever reason, he's chosen to use doctors and to use medicine and to use different kind of disciplines to help his children and his people. And so it's important for people to realize that.
And it does seem like very slowly there's starting to be a little movement in the church saying, hey, we need to do a better job of addressing mental illness in the church, people struggling with things like depression or things like bipolar disorder, or, you know, even more extreme things like schizophrenia and stuff like that, that we need to, need to start addressing this maybe in a better way than we have in the past.
Yeah, I think that in some circles, it's definitely becoming less taboo. I think also something that's happening, though, is you have a lot of lay people and a lot of church leaders that are becoming interested in psychology and realizing, hey, like, we do need to approach families from, you know, we have knowledge out there. We know things about how family dynamics work and how the mind works, and there's no real reason to polarize these issues and decide this is spiritual and this is not. It all goes together. And, you know, I've seen Christians that they have done all they can do. I mean, just every spiritual discipline, every remedy they can think of to try to get rid of an eating disorder or try to get rid of their depression. But then within 3 weeks of being on the right kind of medication and addressing, you know, whatever issue it is, they're actually able to move on with their life. So really we do a disservice to people when we act like every issue is spiritual. If someone was having a heart issue, we wouldn't say, wow, like, I wonder what sin is in your life. Not to discount that sin's not involved, but to realize sometimes there's other things going on too. And of course, the ultimate goal is for people to live in freedom and to live in that peace. And I think a lot of times Christians forget that, and I mean, I've been guilty of this too, all our rewards are not in the next life. Like, there are things in this life that we're supposed to be able to experience because we're Christians, and sometimes these issues like depression and suicide and anxiety and all that stuff kind of gets us hung up. And God, at the end of the day, God wants us to be free from those. And so if it's not contrary to scripture and you're going to someone that is biblically based, there's no reason not to use every single just discipline available to free yourself and your family.
And certainly you read through the Psalms and you can find probably just about every, you know, mental struggle or emotional struggle that exists is there in the Psalms, from depression to suicide.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all there. And that's stuff that God put in his book, clearly, because he wanted it there.
Right, right. I know. Well, I've been working with teenagers for the past 10 years. And we, you know, main thing we try to do is help them understand that the Bible is full of real stories and real people. And it's not that they were perfect and amazing. It was that they were broken and that they needed God. And I think what people would be surprised about with counseling and psychology and Christianity is a lot of things that you find in counseling really go along with scripture. They're not contrary to it. Now, I mean, there are certainly things that, you know, where if all the answers are not inside of us, like, that's not true, like, we know that. But there are a lot of things that really complement it. Just for example, talking about anxiety. Anxiety is, like, one of the number one things teenagers are struggling with right now and young people. And so a lot of us know Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious. You're not supposed to do that. But whenever that's the only verse we use, like, Christians only become usually more anxious whenever they hear that, because they're already anxious and then they're like, oh, and it's a sin, so how am I supposed to stop doing that? So now I'm anxious and I'm sinning. And whenever you go to counseling, going to Christian counseling, or going and talking to someone that understands these issues, we know that there are other verses that also help pull someone out of that state. I always say that the Bible never tells us that there's a problem without also giving us a solution. And so a lot of what I've found in Christianity is pertaining to these problems, family issues and psychological issues, a lot of times we know where the Bible says it's an issue, but we don't often know where we're supposed to turn for the answer, which is also in scripture, but you usually need someone to kind of help you with that.
We're talking with Julia Sadler. She's a licensed counselor, and you're talking about the Bible and psychology. And you mentioned anxiety being one of the big problems with young people today. How much does social media impact that, and what effect is social media having on us psychologically? Because you read a lot about how it sometimes inhibits, you know, developing real relationships, these increased feelings of mm-hmm. loneliness and isolation. What effect is that having on us?
Yeah, so definitely social media is a new thing that we're having to kind of figure out what to do with. But then, of course, you go back to the verse, there's nothing new under the sun. And we know that anxiety, the main way that anxiety enters our lives is through what we're telling ourselves. So the main thing we talk about with students and talk about with clients is what is that dialogue that you're telling yourself? And what's so interesting is we know that depression got worse whenever TVs entered the family home. So before that, there was not as many cases of depression, but as soon as there was a TV in the home, and a lot of people theorize that's because we could see what other people had and what other people were doing, and now you have that to like a millionth degree. You have it on your cell phone where you're just constantly seeing other people and what they're doing. And of course, it's the highlight reel. It's not, you know, no one's, somebody asked me yesterday, why don't you ever post pictures of the triplets crying? And it's like, well, that's not, you know, that's not what you do on Instagram. You show the best thing about you. But it's just creating unrealistic expectations. But no matter how much we talk about that this isn't real life and we're not supposed to compare, how much time you spend on your phones has a direct correlation to how happy you are. And tons of studies are showing that. But the issue goes back to being able to compare, and it's showing us a life that we're comparing ourselves to that's not real. And so at the end of the day, even though social media is new, the struggle to find purpose in our life and not compare and find our God-given reason for living is a story that goes throughout the centuries. And so, yes, talking about social media, but realizing the root issue still is everybody wants to matter. Everybody wants to know why they're here. And the more time we spend on our phones, the more time usually that gets confused.
We're talking with Julia Sadler and talking about psychological issues. In addition to anxiety, what are some of the issues that are facing young people today that you're seeing in the mental health field?
Yeah, so definitely with suicide. Suicide is something that I go around and talk about a lot in high schools and in student ministries, and definitely with that's been popularized by the TV show 13 Reasons Why. And so we've seen a rise in suicide since that show came out. We've seen it just in the last few years. Those numbers go up. And so that's something that's very sad and very tragic. And it's actually a perfect example of how psychology complements Christianity. And whenever I say that, I don't mean every counselor in the whole world. But if you're going to a biblically-based counselor, they can really help with suicide and help with those thoughts. And, you know, students become so in despair. And they think a lot of times that they've done something so bad that nothing can ever get better. And unfortunately, a lot of times, really well-meaning parents can portray that or make a student think like, oh, you know, you've done this so much and there's no return. And not to put everything on parents, that's just sometimes what happens. But also with bullying, you know, teenagers care so much about what other people say and what other people think. And so helping students realize there's life after teenage years, thank goodness, but also helping them realize that no matter what's happened in their life, no matter what has happened, there is always more to their story. God can always do more. But we have to create a safe environment where students can say that they're struggling with that. Once a year, we do something in our student ministry, and I do my suicide prevention talk, and we just have a judgment-free Sunday. If this is what you're struggling with, tell someone, because it's like 80%, I believe, of people that commit suicide tell someone ahead of time that they're struggling with that. And so it's really important as teachers, as parents, as student ministers, as, you know, people in our world to be open to people struggling and to be a safe place for them. And so suicide really can be prevented if we're paying attention and if we're listening.
We're talking to Julia Sadler, and she is the host of the Julia Sadler Show, as well as a speaker and author. Julia, folks want to find out more information about your ministry and the work that you do, how can they do so?
Instagram's probably best, as we're talking about social media. Julia J. Sadler _ the Sadler triplets, or my website, juliajsadler.com.
Excellent. Hey, Julia, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. We appreciate it, and I'm glad you got a good night's sleep last night.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Bye.